Hello, Royals fans. Welcome once again to the podcast Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics at Eastern Mennonite University. I want to welcome you to this week's podcast. I'm joined once again this week by our Sports Information Director, James DeBoer. A variety of subjects for us to cover. I guess the first, James, would be that I think, given the recent ruling of the Northwestern University athletes as now being employees of their institution, I may want to go back to law school to prepare for what may happen in the future. I find it fascinating to watch that particular developments, and certainly as we understand, it'll probably be years before it's ever settled. Mm-hmm. But it is very, very intriguing to hear for some of the first times, I think, public debate or conversation about whether they Division I athletes are really student athletes or not. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something we've seen all along. And it is quite a quandary that they're in, because you look at it and they are, if they're considered employees, as someone said the other day, they will have to start paying tax on their income, mm-hmm. which if it's a full ride scholarship, which includes the meal plan and the housing and everything, it could be upwards of $50,000. A year. So then the question is, will a Division I athlete come out owing as much money as a Division III athlete? It's just one pays the federal government, one pays back loans. But on the other hand, if they are treated like employees and are working 40 to 50 hours a week, then you're going to run into the swimmers and the soccer players and the tennis players that don't get full scholarships, that only get smaller scholarships. And so are they being paid fairly? Are they even getting minimum wage? So mm-hmm. now you get into that part. I do understand the fact that if they are considered employees, then the health benefits and taking care of those things, which mm-hmm. is what they're really asking for, as I understand it, would be that kind of pay for medical interventions of any kind, surgeries or rehab or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But it will be interesting to see where it goes. And I think the most interesting part of the debate for me, again, is how do you really classify this individual? Are they really an employee? Mm-hmm. I certainly understand the university makes millions and probably billions of dollars all told on that. And yet, I think we'd have to admit here at Division III at Eastern Mennonite University that while we certainly don't make any money, people certainly know Eastern Mennonite University partially because of the sports programs, mm-hmm. at least in certain circles. So I don't know what you've watched it, listened to it a little bit. We're not going to spend the whole time on it, but I find it to be a development that I think if it doesn't change a lot, it will certainly open up a conversation or debate within the general public about this situation. And my guess would be there's a couple of Division I athletic directors and presidents that are a little squirmish today.
It's just so interesting as you continue to, give this point, I keep thinking of all these other little bunny holes we can chase down. And I just think there's just such a huge can of worms involved with this. It's interesting. I understand some of the points that the Northwestern football team is arguing for, and I think that's great. And I don't know the correct way to go about it. I don't know if this is the correct way to go about it, but boy, there's just a ton of interesting things. But I mean, at Division III, where we're the quote pure sport here, where the athletes come and they play a sport because they feel like it, not because they're getting a full ride or whatever. We look at even this spring with all our reschedulings and then travel arrangements, it's hard for some of our kids to make it to class, and that's just Division III, and that's not when they're traveling from Chicago to, who else is in Northwestern's conference? They're flying out to Penn State or to Maryland to just for a football game. And so we don't have nearly the travel involved, and we're still having a hard time with some of our schedules getting kids in class. And that's just D3. I think once you start looking, those are good questions to ask, because you're very right. The schools and the NCAA make money off of the student athletes, especially at the D1 level. But boy, what a can of worms.
I'm not sure there's a whole lot that's going to change.
Yeah.
The rhetoric out of the NCAA is going to have to become something different, because they're going to be hard-pressed to continue to say that they're a student-athlete when they're working 40 to 50 hours a week on their sport in season, and then there's some out of season. So their graduation rates are good. I understand all that. So there will be the arguments back and forth on both sides. But you're absolutely right. We – And again, you can say, well, this person just is going to go to class and not play the game. Well, on the other hand, we need a successful team to attract other persons to come and to actually fulfill their experience in terms of getting the full benefit out of it. So it isn't a full benefit out of the experiences when some of the people can't be there. So we struggle with that. And we have gone out, and as I've said many times, probably I would say upwards of 90% of our student population, of our student athletes, are here because we wanted them to come. Mm-hmm. And while they have an education in mind, they come in wanting to play. Mm-hmm. And so how do we balance that out? So whether it is earth-shattering or not, I don't know. The pundits are saying it certainly is going to change the debate. It's going to change the conversations. But we'll see where it goes. I don't think it's going to end up with ending up with people coming running down to Division III because they don't want to continue to play at Division I and go through that hassle. But we'll see where it goes from there. Well, let's get back to rescheduling. We'll let that one go, and we'll figure out who else can address that.
You opened up the new can of worms, rescheduling.
Yeah, rescheduling. And you're right. Talked to somebody the other day, and it's possible that they would only be in class maybe two times in the next 4 weeks. And that's a dilemma. But on the other hand, we have no choice. We've been postponing games from one day to 2 weeks from now, and then we've been seeing that one game has been postponed, and it's scheduled for a Friday, and we move it to a Wednesday because of the forecast for there. And so it's not just postponing, it's moving things forward. And in a college, that is extremely difficult because if it's only a Tuesday, Thursday class or a Monday, Wednesday class or even a Monday class only, what are you going to do? So give us a little update on where we're at. If you have any idea, I think we're going to go week by week. Maybe we'll have a new feature on the webpage that says, here's what we're trying to do this week.
That might be a good idea. I'm sitting here with my pocket schedule that we printed a couple of weeks ago trying to figure out what's going on this weekend. And I realized that I should just say one phrase, emuroyals.com. Because that's about the best place that you can figure out, or anybody can figure out, what's coming up in the next week. Because just pieces are moving all over the place. And we're sitting here recording this on a rainy Friday with a forecast for a rainy Saturday. And we have a home baseball doubleheader and a road softball doubleheader scheduled for a rainy Saturday. So who knows what's going to happen with some of this stuff. Let's just tell you about what has happened. Should we do that?
Go right ahead. Catch us up a little bit in case they haven't been on emuroyals.com.
Sure. A couple of the fun events from just yesterday, from Thursday. The softball team played host to Bridgewater College. I won't even tell you when that was originally scheduled for because I don't remember. And we did play yesterday. And, of course, we started late because there was frost coming out of the ground. And then we had to halt the second game because it was too dark. And just perfectly fitting. But a very fun rivalry between these two teams. And I thought it was a little more interesting because Bridgewater's coach, Donnie Falk, is retiring at the end of the season. And I think he and our coach, J.D. McCurdy, have a good rivalry against each other. Doesn't hurt that J.D. has so many connections to Bridgewater and lives about two blocks away from, Coach Falk. And so it was a lot of fun. A couple of really good games. Of course, the second game ends halted at an 8-8 tie.
Fortunately, it's just Bridgewater who has to come here, not Guilford or Virginia.
I know we're not a 4-hour trip, but so we'll figure that one out as to how that plays out by the end of the year. But a couple of really exciting contests yesterday, and I think for the softball team, they're still young to some extent. There's a couple of upperclassmen on there, but you can still see that every so often they just have a bad inning or something snowballs, and they just make a couple of mistakes. And that happened yesterday a couple different times where the Eagles would have a couple of big innings. So for the softball team, it's just fun as the season develops, even though it's developing very slowly because of all the rescheduling.
And it will end up in a mad rush.
It will end up in a huge mad rush. It's fun to watch this team develop. And I mean, and that's the thing. You're always working on a team to be playing their best by the end of the year. And so they're slowly working out the kinks and figuring out, who's going to be the lead pitchers and trying to get the best combinations on the field of, not making mental errors. But there's definitely talent on the softball team, and it was a lot of fun to watch them play their rivals yesterday.
Well, certainly it was a fun contest and very competitive contest, mm-hmm. and it's gotten to the point now where, again, regardless of what the record is ahead of time or beforehand or wherever it is, it's Bridgewater and EMU. So mm-hmm. we've said that about basketball for the last couple of years, and I think it sort of came because Bridgewater hadn't necessarily been playing all that well, and all of a sudden they come out and, you know, play really well against us, get the timely hit. So you talk about that it is – we know they're going to fail 70% of the time or 60% of the time anyway. We understand that. But it's that mental capacity to just stay in tune and focused and relaxed and not put the pressure on because they haven't been getting the timely hits. And so, and I think the men's baseball was feeling the same way. And then they turn around yesterday and go to W&L and end up coming back with their first ODAC win.
Yeah, that was very exciting for them to come back. This is, I think, their ninth conference game of the year, and they finally get their first win. And I talked with Coach Ben Spots a couple of games ago, and I think after the Hampton-Sydney doubleheader, and it was just a couple of close losses, and he said, you know what, it's not the ODAC that it was 10 years ago. It's much more balanced on the baseball level, and we're not as bad as, you know, we were 0-8 in the conference. We're not as bad as an 0-8 team in the conference. But it's, you know, you miss one hit here, you leave, you know, a couple of runners on base, and it costs you. And yesterday at Washington and Lee, they were getting those timely hits. They had a number of two-out runs that they scored, took advantage of the Washington and Lee errors whenever they made the errors. And that's what you've got to do to be a successful team. So it was really nice to see the guys get their first conference win. And hopefully it snowballs a little bit. There's always that thing, you just want to get the monkey off your back. And as the losses pile up, the monkey gets heavier and heavier. And so it's nice to just get that first one out of the way. And, you know, there's still the uphill battle of a rebuilding program and a powerful conference, but they've at least got that monkey off their back.
Well, and they seem to get the hits at the right time.
Yeah, they really
did. Last time they got some pitching, you just never quite know. I talked to him, and he said the pitcher had been a little bit inconsistent, and this time he kept it where it needed to be. And so, yeah, it just goes to show that if you hang in there, if you keep on going. I do have to give a shout-out to the baseball team. I mean, what Coach Spots has been doing, particularly in terms of their attention to detail and their focused on what has to be done. I was so impressed. I was here last night. They had got back. It was like 10:15. I'm headed for home, and sure enough, I drive by, and all the guys are out there having just gotten off the bus and put their stuff away, and they're out there putting the tarp on the field. And it's just one of those things. I realize that baseball players sort of have that in their blood, but to think about the way in which sometimes campus communities can think that athletes are coddled and they're taken and they are treated differently and special and all of that. Here's a group of guys working together, coaches talking to me. They got it under control. They rolled the tarp out, and they put that thing out in preparation for the rain. So I'm just really, really impressed with the work ethic and the attitude in which he's trying to develop. And the guy's got an email from a mother just the other day that is so grateful for her son having transferred here and what's happening there. So kudos to the baseball team, not just for the win, but for the way in which they're going about taking care of their business. Of course, the softball team, the same way. They were putting their own tarp out there. And, you know, they could easily demand that that we as a staff take care of all that kind of stuff, but they take care of themselves. So, well, let's quickly run down what else is happening. Track and field's underway, headed for some weekend stuff, and men's volleyball has their last couple conference matches coming up.
Yeah, the track and field team's scheduled to be at – it's unfortunate they're at Bridgewater this weekend. So it's the closest chance that you know, the fans here in Harrisburg will have a chance to see the track team. And it might not be the nicest weather, so that's unfortunate, but they'll be down in Bridgewater on Saturday. So if you've got a chance to get down there and the rains aren't too bad, you know, make sure you get down. It's a lot of fun as the track team continues to build steam. I think we saw in the indoor season a few injuries hanging on here and there and people maybe getting healthy from cross-country season or whatever. It seems like the health is returning as we hit the outdoor season. So it'll be fun to watch them hit full steam. Men's volleyball is on the road this weekend, so if you're north of Harrisonburg, this is your chance to see them. And frankly, this is about your last chance to see them for the year. Their regular season actually wraps up this coming week. It just seems so close already, but we're going to be hitting that for everyone in the next couple of weeks. But, the men are at Stevenson Friday night, which is the Baltimore area, and then they're at Cairn up in Pennsylvania on Saturday, and that's a tri-match, so that's a lot of fun at least. You can catch a couple of games, though. All the games are at Cairn, but they'll play the Highlanders first in a conference match, And then take on Stevens Tech afterwards. And Stevens, a very good team. So it'll be fun to watch some of those matches and see how the guys finish out the season. They have one more game match next week on Wednesday against Marymount, 7 o'clock. That is the last regular season match of the year, and we've been eliminated from postseason contention, so it's the last match of the year altogether. So make sure you come out next Wednesday and support the guys in their last match. It's been a lot of fun to watch the volleyball team this year.
And regardless of the weather, they have played golf.
They have played golf, yeah. It was interesting. They started the spring golf season last weekend. We had a couple of nice days, and it seemed like those nice days were right before all the golf tournaments started. The men started play on Sunday. And it was kind of rainy the first day and a little cool the second day. They got their 2 days in. The women were scheduled to play Monday and Tuesday. Well, we all know what happened Tuesday or Monday night. So they just played a one-day tournament on Monday. So they have re-entered the spring season. They're struggling with the weather just as much as everyone else is who's outdoors. But as far as they're scheduled to come up now, the men do have a little bit of time off. Both teams have a little bit of time off, but make sure you check emuroyals.com for when the next matches are, because they did add some just recently.
Even difficult to practice because at least baseball, softball can go indoors. Mm-hmm. There are some hitting facilities out at Harry Jokes that they can use, but clearly it isn't good golf weather no matter how you look at it with that. So one comment I'm going to make, if you're in the area, April 8 is a Tuesday, I believe, and we are going to have a reception celebration for the women's basketball team here on campus to celebrate their going on to the NCAA tournament. And basically, the last 2 years, having lost only two games in conference play over the last 2 years, pretty good feat there, and they need to be recognized for that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have a public a reception for them on April the 8th, if you happen to be in the area from 4 to 6 in the afternoon, late afternoon, just some light refreshments and make a few comments about it. So if you can join us then, that'd be great. Once again, very heavy in recruiting. People have already decided that they're coming here, but the athletic recruiting piece is still going very strong. Again, some of your baseball, softball, and track player athletes in high school are only now realizing that maybe they've made a big jump from junior to senior year, and they're having a great year, and so they're starting to look at college, and we're starting to look at them. It isn't quite like the D1s and D2s that are already finished. We're still out on, I think men's basketball has four or five recruits on this weekend. Mm-hmm. There's some other soccer players coming in. Next week, I will be able to announce our women's soccer. We are finished the interviewing process. We'll make a decision over the weekend, and excited about that possibility there, and look forward to that. So thanks for joining us once again this week on the podcast. Look forward to talking with you next week, and until then, make it a great week.